Welcome to Inner Circle, the premier softball podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric Lopez and Victor Anderson.
And welcome to another edition of In the Circle. I'm Eric Lopez alongside Victor Anderson. And Vic, we got an exciting episode here. A top broadcasting prospect in the sport of softball will be joining us today.
Yes. So we're definitely glad for her.
And Vic won't say her name it's a tricky name. Former Houston player Sydney Gerbrach will be joining us here on the podcast. We'll find out if we got it right or not. We'll see how it is
pronounced. If you got it right or not, I'm not even going to try and pronounce that name.
She is a former Houston player, currently on the Houston Cougars softball broadcast on their site, and as well does stuff for the American Digital Network. In fact, she'll be on the air on May 5th when UCF takes on Tulsa, 6 Eastern, 5 Central. She'll be there with Bruce Howard. But before we talk to Sydney, Vic, tell the audience where they can find us.
You can follow us always on Twitter at Inner Circle SB. Subscribe to our podcast on Podomatic and iTunes. Make sure you follow us so that we can get up to date on our newest podcasts that get released. And also, you can follow our blog, Inner Circle Blog, at WordPress.com. Follow us on Facebook and send us an email, InnerCircleSB@gmail.com.
All right, we're going to have a great chat here with Sydney, a career that comes from California all the way to Houston. How did that journey start? What got her into broadcasting and what the future holds for her? She's broadcasted, as I mentioned, in the American Digital Network. She did a game earlier this year, Houston versus Connecticut with Lincoln Rose. She'll do that one against Tulsa. But here's one of the up and coming broadcasters in college softball, former player for the Houston Cougars, Sydney Gerbrach. And joining us now is the former Houston Cougar player, now broadcaster in the Houston area, as well as on the American Digital Network. You can see her on May 5th, Friday, when UCF takes on Tulsa on the American Digital Network. She'll be working with Bruce Howard. And, of course, I speak of Sydney Gerbrach. Sid, how you doing?
I'm great, Eric. How are you?
Good. Let's talk about your career. It's been very unique. You played in Houston. You're from California, so I kind of want to start with that. How did a California girl end up in Houston?
Well, I did not take the traditional route, and it's not one I necessarily recommend. I decided really late that I wanted to play college softball. I originally wanted to play college soccer, but then knew that I wanted to get into television and broadcast and saw the coverage that softball was really starting to pick up from the Women's College World Series. So decided as a junior, hey, you know, this is what I really want to do, and got on a travel ball team, got recruited really late in the game. I was talking to Florida State, and then Houston swooped in the summer right after my senior year, and they made me an offer I couldn't refuse. I mean, nobody wants to play for a team that doesn't make a big deal about you, and Houston was, you know, they made me feel wanted. They made me feel like I was going to contribute, I was going to play. And I was really grateful to that coaching staff in this program for giving me the opportunity. So that's how it happened.
So you arrive in Houston to play for Kyle Aholis and the Cougars and that program there, and they've achieved so much. I think you just got there a little bit after, like, the Angel Shamblin era when Houston won its first Conference USA Championships in 07. They won the regular season in the tournament in Orlando. They won the regular season in 08 was a top national seed, got to the Super Regionals. You got a little bit after that. Tell the audience the years you played in UH.
Well, I actually got there 2000. So I graduated high school in 2010, was there for the 2011 Super Regional season. That was an incredible experience. But ended up, my redshirt freshman year was the 2012 season. So played all through that until 2015.
So you were redshirting during the 2011 season when Houston got to the Super Regionals again. This time it was Amanda Crabtree, Donna Bourgeois, that pitching staff, led that team. You went to Stillwater. Against Oklahoma State, got within a game of the Women's College World Series. So you were around that team that was so close there. What was that year like?
Oh, wow. Well, I can tell you that it was interesting. You know, Donna Bourgeois transferred in mid-semester, which is really difficult to do. So she kind of came in, swooped in, and made herself known, made herself a presence on our team. She and Crabtree, of course, handled most of the innings. Deidre Uten got some time here and there as a freshman. She did really well. What was interesting was that Donna Bourgeois actually, she came from ULL, and we ended up beating ULL at that Austin Regional in order to go to Super Regionals. And then Amanda Crabtree, her freshman year, actually, she played for Oklahoma State. She was a Cowgirl. So she was playing against all of her old teammates who were, at that time, were seniors. And it was really interesting to kind of see how it all came full circle. That team, God, I'll tell you, it had to be the mental game and the combination of personalities that year. We were all in every pitch. I've never played on a team since then that played pitch for pitch like that super regional team. We were six outs away from the Women's College World Series, as you mentioned, and it's definitely an experience I'll never forget. So definitely one of my favorite college experiences for sure.
You mentioned you played from 2012 to 2015. You played with Bailey Watson, those teams. You got into the tournament in 2012, which I'll get into. But how would Cindy Gerbrock, the color commentator, describe Cindy Gerbrock, the player?
How would I describe myself as a player? Well, I oscillated between being in the starting lineup all the time to kind of clawing for at-bats. I definitely didn't have a fairy tale career, but I will say this. When the game's on the line, I would want the bat in my hand. I was that clutch player that got the job done more often than not and was able to come up with the big hit when we needed it most. And so often my coaches would put me in those high-pressure situations. And I was just talking today to another player, you know, how we used to black out when we would be so focused in, so in the zone in order for things to go well and go our way. So that's how I would describe myself, as a clutch player, the clutch player, I guess, on every team that I played on.
What's some of your favorite memories from your playing career?
Favorite memories. My freshman year, we were down 7-4 against ULL. Billy Watts was pitching, actually. And I didn't start that game, but I ended up coming in and hitting a 3-run shot against, gosh, I can't remember her name. She's number 7. I don't know. She ended up graduating, I think, in 2016. She was younger than me. And she was really good that year. She was a freshman, and we just roped one over the left field wall. That was a big moment. We ended up losing like 12-7, I think, that game. Hitting back-to-back home runs with Haley Uten at UTSA. That was a good one. Then my senior year, I had a 2-run triple at UCF, and that was great because Mackenzie Audis had just shut us out maybe the day prior with a no-hitter. And it was good to kind of end my rivalry with her as a hitter and have the last laugh there. I was able to have a good last at bat against her.
It's funny you
those are the top three.
It's funny you bring that moment up, actually, Sydney, because I happen to I know that play very well. As a matter of fact, let's go back in memory lane and play the clip.
They're going to go to the bench right here, trying to get back in this ball game. Looks like Gerbach will hit here for Holland in the 9th spot, and then you get to the top of the order. First and third, one out here in the 5th. A 5-0 lead for UCF.
Number 5, Sydney Gerbrock.
Now Gerbach to pinch hit here in the 9th spot for Holland with 2 on, 1 out. She shows butt. They will throw to second. It's cut off, but nothing doing. And it's a steal for Davila, and all of a sudden now Houston with runners at second and third with 1 out. The 1-1. And Gerbach hits one to deep left field. Back at the wall. It's off the wall. That will get McKnight in. That will get 2 runs in. The throw to third, not in time. It's a 2-RBI triple for Gerbach. And it's 5-2 UCF.
There you have it. What was that? Who's that clown calling that game?
It wasn't me. I know that much.
Oh, that was me.
That's
I remember
awesome.
That. You were the pinch hitter there. 5-2 game.
I was.
That was,
yes,
so absolutely. There you go. See, somebody was calling it. Maybe I didn't pronunciate the Brack part maybe as well as I should
have.
Yeah,
you did better than a PA guy.
That's true. That's very true.
He butchered that.
You know,
okay.
I will tell you that the even the PA guy at my own field sometimes couldn't get my last name right.
Okay, so let me ask you this.
This was a career-long struggle.
So let me ask you this. So Cindy, that actually leads into my question. What with your name being such a unique last name, what was the worst time you've ever heard either a PA guy or radio announcer pronounce your last name? Besides Eric, who got it as close to right as possible, what was the worst you've ever heard it? either from either yourself with your own ears or with the friends or family telling you?
What was the worst? Ger Bratchett was pretty funny.
Oh.
That was a good one. Yeah, I mean, it's I think Ger Bratchett's probably the best one.
Yeah, that's tough.
I mean, there's
top.
Been so many variations, and they, I mean, you can't look at it. It doesn't look necessarily phonetic. It's very German. It's one of those things that I've just dealt with my whole life, and, you know, you have to laugh a little bit because people really want to get it right. They really want to get it right the first time, and that rarely happens. I don't think anyone's ever gotten it right the first time.
Well, you know, it's funny. You remind me, you kind of had the same problem that Shelby Turnier had with UCF pitcher.
Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of people, actually, there are PA people, a lot of people would call her Turnier, you know, French. And it's funny because the reason they called her Turnier is because that's what the players called her. So everybody just assumed, oh, that's what it is. And she didn't really correct, you know, went out of her way. Because technically it's correct. It is a French name, right. Turnier. But it's actually Turnier.
And I pronounce it like that, too.
Right. So you're not wrong. Okay, yeah. There's multiple ways to pronounce it. It's just what's the preference? And then, you know, she wasn't that bot. She didn't care either way. But, like, the dad would be like, no, it's Turnier. So it's funny. But some of this also is because, you know, and you know this, by hanging out with the players, a lot of times players will call a player by a name just on purpose. Like, we got a player currently by the name of Tiffany Lauer, but her name is spelled Lower. Well, in her freshman year last year, all they kept calling her was Lower. And then, so I assume, oh, it's Tiffany Lower. But then I talked to her, it's like, no, it's Lauer. It's like, why do they call you Lower? It's like, oh, because they're just giving me a hard time because I'm a freshman. So
it happens to all of us. You actually have a player on our team. Her last name is Minier.
Yeah.
But it's Minier. And I call her Minor. So I'm like, no, it's Minier. I'm like, oh, okay, my bad.
Well, yeah. And sometimes that's just the way it is. And sometimes your tongue doesn't allow it. Your tongue will just decide what it will want to pronounce and not want to pronounce, whether you like it or not, just based on how you talk. So
exactly.
So it's kind of one of the ways it is there. But, you know, I figured you mentioned that moment, and you mentioned that against McKenzie, because the day before McKenzie had thrown the no-hitter against you guys.
And Houston had thrown lights out.
Oh, and what was that like to face McKenzie? Because she had a nasty changeup that I know gave a lot of hitters issues.
She did. And, you know, it wasn't necessarily, and I'll say this about both UCF pitchers that year and throughout the time that I played against that team. Both Shelby Turnier and McKenzie Outis, they both threw strikes. And there's nothing more terrifying to a hitter than a pitcher who doesn't let them breathe, that comes right at you, that throws strike one for strike one, strike two for strike two, and all of a sudden you have let two pitches, maybe perhaps the best two pitches you're going to get all game long, go by in your first at-bat. And that's what they did. They both threw called strikes as much as they threw swinging strikes. And so I know against McKenzie Outis, yes, you really needed to get ahead of her the best way that you could before she could get ahead of you and use her changeup. That was really the key to success with her. I remember going up and saying, you know what, she's throwing a lot of us inside. I'm going to start towing the plate, and then I'm going to back up off the plate. She's going to throw me inside again, and that's what I'm going to choose. And it ended up working for me.
That's an interesting perspective. So you face both Shelby and McKenzie. That's interesting to kind of break down the two of them, because that's always been the comparison with the two of them, Shake and Bake. They were the nickname and everything. And facing either both of them, I mean, that certainly was a challenge for you, but that was part of the rivalry. UCF Houston's had a long rivalry, as you well know.
Oh, yeah.
And during that time, you know, that was a big series. 2014 was a big series, because I remember the two teams were in the top of the conference going into that series. UCF had to win that series. I know that was frustrating, but there was always a lot at stake. I remember the year you redshirted in 2011, Houston clinched the regular season title, sweeping UCF.
Sweeping UCF at home,
yeah,
no less. So I remember, and then, you know, I think it was maybe my senior year that they won the American Athletic Conference for the second time, and in order to beat us, that was actually when they clinched the regular season title. So it was interesting, you know, how the tables were turned from my freshman to my senior year. But, you know, I have a lot of respect for UCF and Coach Gillespie. I know that she coaches a very scrappy, they're incredibly smart. They know their field well. They play really well together. I'll always have a lot of respect for that team and that program. Good brand of softball.
Who is Houston's biggest rival? And that's an interesting question because you got so many teams in the state of Texas, Texas A&M, Baylor. You play them all. Like, I mean, for a Houston player, I mean, what games do you circle?
Well, I know when we play, when Kyla Hollis was at the helm of the program, we really went after ULL. I think that was a personal pride thing because that was her alma mater. And we love to play them because they're incredible. Again, another great program, great brand of softball, unique brand of softball, obviously. And it was really fun to play them at the Raging Cajun House because their fans are incredibly rowdy. But so are ours. So that was always a fun matchup. Who else? You know, I think it's always a dogfight with University of Texas. There's not necessarily bad blood there, but you're always gunning for schools that are just down the street, essentially. And then I would say, in terms of in-conference, Tulsa and UCF are always the two schools that we really wanted to compete well against and have a good showing. And then when we were in Conference USA, when UAB was really, they came in hot a couple years, and they were the team to beat at one point. So I know that those are the ones that we either struggled with or were really looking to beat in those moments.
Now, I remember 2012, Houston knocked off UCF in the quarterfinals in Birmingham in the Conference USA tournament.
We did.
And I want to say it was either, you could correct me on which year it was. There was a year, it was either 2012 or 2014 where you guys finished not very good at the end of the year. And I think you guys even internally didn't think you were going to make the NCAA tournament. And as far as the story that I was told, that, you know, pretty soon everybody kind of went out on their own, they're thinking they're not going to make the tournament. And it turns out you made the tournament. In fact, it was 2014. Now I remember it. It was 2014.
It was. Mm-hmm.
And tell us the story, because I've heard different variations of this story. It's pretty funny now looking back on it, but pretty wild that you guys were convinced you weren't going to make the field of the 64, and you did, and nobody. It was kind of like last minute.
Well, you know what? Here's what I can say about that, because I remember that year we didn't have the best showing, and it was frustrating because that essentially was the class that I came in with. It was Kendra Cullum and then Haley and Deidre Uten. And I remember being frustrated because that was essentially my recruiting class. We wanted to go out with a bang, even though I wasn't technically graduating with them. It wasn't technically my senior year. So I wanted, you know, you want to show off your seniors and give them the proper send-off. So, you know, we didn't think we were going to make it that year. We just didn't have as good of a year, didn't hit our stride as soon as we thought we would. And then we were watching the selection show and our name popped up on that screen and everything changed. And we were called back and we ended up practicing and we played pretty well in the Baylor Regional. I think we ended up losing to Tulsa. But, you know, sometimes it just goes like that. And, you know, Houston at that point had earned a reputation. And I think that that's really what we got in on that year. We got in on reputation, on the fact that we were a school that could continuously and consistently compete with teams that were going to the tournament every year. I think we outed McNeese that year, and yep, they had a pretty good season. And they really, at the end of the day, I think they probably deserved to go. I'm grateful that we went, obviously, because I rep Houston harder than anybody. But at the end of the day, if you really go back and look at the numbers, you know, we probably didn't deserve to go. So I think that we got in on reputation, and, you know, that's the brand of softball that Houston was playing at that time.
And that's a part of college softball, and that's a credit to the program that you're getting the benefit of the doubt. That's kind of where you want to get yourself into that position. And plus, you had a streak going. I believe Houston had made the NCAA tournament, I think, every year since 2010. So they had a streak going there that was in jeopardy. Am I right on that?
We sure did. And then, unfortunately, you know, what ended up being my senior year, my fifth-year senior, we didn't go. And we didn't go last year. So both as a player and then now as an analyst and spectator, watching us not go was very frustrating. I remember my last game my last softball game ever was at UCF. We played Tulsa, the conference tournament was at UCF, and that game was over, and all of a sudden it was done. 5 years, and it was over. And the same guy that got me into softball, my dad, was able to fly down and watch me get my last collegiate hit and walked off the field and into his arms and sobbed a little bit and then had to stiffen my upper lip and get on with it.
I remember that. I was in the stands, actually. I was getting ready to broadcast the semifinal game. UCF was playing USF in the second semifinal game, and you were playing Tulsa. And then you had the lead early in that game. Remember that? Shelby Miller was starting that game. But Tulsa was good. They just got the best of you there. Because you had won, I believe you won a 1-0 game the day before against Memphis, which was weird, a 1-0 game. I think a lot of people were surprised by the score of that game. But, wow, that's right. You've had a lot of trips to UCF. I've just noticed that. So you're telling me, because you traveled in 2012, 2014, and you had to travel to Orlando twice in 2015 because the conference kind of did this loopy thing where Houston had to go to UCF back-to-back years, which was weird. I think it's because Tulsa had just arrived to the conference and stuff like that. And then you had to come back for the conference tournament.
Yes. That's exactly what happened. So you're right. When there was a little bit of a conference shuffle, Houston was not, I mean, we traditionally had, I know, I think 2011 was a home season, 2012 we were more away, or maybe it was vice versa. But that concept of like having a more of a home season or an away season in terms of conference really wasn't relevant once we switched conferences, just because there was a shuffle with teams, because, you know, Louisville ended up leaving and Temple ended, their program ended up folding, then Tulsa was added, and there was all that shenanigans going on. So you're absolutely right. I went to UCF 4 different times throughout my career, which is a lot.
Wild. That's got to be a record. Like, can we throw that in there, like in a record books or something? I mean, that's pretty wild. I mean, did you have a favorite spot in Orlando? I mean, you must have gotten known that city pretty well.
You know what? I don't think I remember that city as well as I should. I actually had the opportunity to travel back to Orlando for the 3rd year in a row last year when I was coaching a local high school out here. We went and played in the tournament they have down there. It's adjacent with – it's at the ESPN Live World of Sports.
Yep.
It goes on at the same time that the collegiate tournament happens. And it's a high school tournament, and I was able to coach in that tournament, so that was great. To go back.
Well, see, you just didn't know me at the time. I could have shown you around. Me or Vic could have shown you around in town. You know, now you do. Now you know. So now you know next time.
Exactly.
So your playing career ends, as you mentioned, in Orlando in the 2015 tournament. Take me through. Mm-hmm. Now your career is over. You're going to focus on life after softball, and you end up doing some broadcasting for Houston. Tell us how that all comes about.
Well, I graduated. I had the opportunity to graduate early, and I originally was going to go get my MBA. That was what I wanted to do, because I am a communications major, but I wanted a little bit of business acumen to bolster my communications degree, and it didn't work out. The MBA program said, you know, you can't play softball and get with this MBA program, because Houston has one of the best MBA programs in the country, and they said, you know, it's too rigorous. You're not going to be able to dedicate the same time with athletics as you are to academics. All right, fine. That's fine. So I ended up going another route and getting a 1 degree in project management and another degree in global retail management, which ended up being great, working out perfectly for me. And in the meantime, I was contemplating playing college soccer and saying, hey, maybe I'll go back and play college soccer, because for NCAA, you are able to play a 5th year of a varsity sport as long as it's different from the one that you played for the previous 4 years. So I was considering doing that, but getting into soccer shape is excruciating after I've played 4 years of college softball. So I decided, you know, I'm going to get some broadcast experience because this is what I really want to do. Started with being an in-game host for Houston football, then for Houston basketball, and then they came to me in the fall and said, we really want you to be the analyst and call games for Houston softball. And that's really how it started. I had listened constantly, of course, to Women's College World Series, watch games that I had played and heard how they'd talk about me. So I knew that I would be naturally pretty good at talking about softball because that's what I had done for the past couple years, obviously. But I think my chops in the booth really came from the fact that I have a passion for getting to know the why and the mental game that goes on behind the eyes of each player. And I think that having that innate understanding, because I was a college athlete and then became a coach and was in that atmosphere for so long, I think that's ultimately what gave me the advantage. And that's why I think that I've been able to progress as quickly as I have.
And now you've been a part of the Houston broadcast. You've been the color person, and you've done play-by-play, and you've actually expanded. You've done some other work outside in the region. You've also done some baseball work. Tell us about some of the work you've been doing.
Yeah, so last year I got to hold my very first ESPN microphone. That was pretty cool. Called the Southland Championship for their softball tournament against, I believe it was, Lamar and McNeese. So that was a great opportunity. Chris Mikoski from the Southland Conference was able to give me that opportunity. Then again, called me later in May and said, hey, you know, we have the Southland Baseball Championship out in Sugar Land at Cedar Park, and we would love for you to come call some games for us. And so I did. And then this year I was able to call, of course, have been calling for Houston all season long. Called the Houston-UConn game on Saturday, the second game of that series, for the American Digital Network. And I'll be calling another game for the American Digital Network, as you mentioned earlier, on May 5th. Looking right now to call another game for a conference championship and then maybe even get chops calling a regional. So that's the goal right now.
Oh, that's good goals there. And you've done some sideline, or it's not sideline reporting, but you've done some interviewing features and stuff like that. So you're pretty flexible. You've done interviews. I know when you do American Digital Networks, one of your assignments is you do post-game interviews, usually with a winning player and winning coach. So you're very versatile, which obviously is huge in this industry.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, I would say I enjoy the analyst work the most, probably followed by the in-studio interview, so the opportunity to sit down and have that more intimate conversation with a coach or a player. Again, because I told you, I really enjoy what goes on behind the eyes of the players in these different programs and what it is that they're being taught on a daily basis and what makes their brand of softball so unique, because I know it made ours unique over at Houston. And then, you know, I like sideline reporting. I know that's what a lot of women are getting into in the sports broadcast industry right now. But I don't think you get as intimate of an answer. I don't think you necessarily get the whole picture, and that's what I'm interested in. I'm interested in the why. But I love getting to do the sideline reporting when I'm an analyst because I get to have the conversation while the adrenaline's going. So there's good points to every side of the industry, absolutely.
And who was some of the broadcasters that kind of inspired you? Who did you look up to as far as that when you were watching them on TV or et cetera?
I really like Holly Rowe. She has covered her ability to cover so many different sports and be so versatile. She's one of those women that I look up to. She's been a pioneer in the sports broadcast industry for women. Of course, Erin Andrews. I mean, I don't think you can talk about women in sports and sports broadcast without talking about her. And then, you know, Jess Mendoza, love the fact that she's gone from being so involved in the softball world and then has transformed her career by being a part of the Major League Baseball network and calling Major League Baseball. That's obviously one of my dreams. Besides calling Women's College World Series, I'd love to call a World Series in the future. And then, you know, more recently, I would say probably Amanda Scarborough. She has been, she's actually one of the broadcasters that I listen to. She does a really good job of letting the game breathe. And so I like to emulate a little bit of her style too, because I think sometimes it can be difficult when there's a lot to talk about and there's so many different points to be made to just kind of let the game breathe on its own.
Know her at all by any chance? I know she's from Houston area. That's why I asked. If not, you know, maybe we could help you with that. I don't know.
I don't know her personally. I know she's quite close with one of the Houston coaches, Megan Gibson Lofton. I know they're quite close. Haven't been able to make that connection, but I'm sure I will. Sure, I will cross paths at some point. But when that time comes, I'll be looking forward to picking her brain.
Yeah, no, she's very good about that. Megan Gibson Lofton was her teammate, obviously, at A&M, for those that may not be aware of that. But no, she's very good. She helped one of my friends, actually, about a year ago or two. She was going to do her first analyst work. In fact, it's one I'm working with, Allison Kyman. She reached out to Amanda, and Amanda helped her out. So she's very giving from that standpoint. And I agree with you. I think she's the top in the industry right now as far as softball analyst work, and has really earned it. Down to earth. Very funny.
Absolutely.
To say the least. What's your kind of long-term goal? Now, I know you mentioned some of that, but is Houston your permanent home? Are you the type that would be willing to move? Or do you want to build that Houston broadcast? Because I remember, you know, I've gone to Houston up there for many years doing games with UCF. I've called, I've been there. As a matter of fact, I've been there for 3 conference tournaments in Houston. You think you've been to Orlando a lot? I could top you. I've been to Houston. It was in Houston in 2008. I was there in 2010. I was there in 2013, 14, and 16. So I got you beat.
The only place you've been more than Houston, Eric, has been to Gainesville, Florida.
Correct.
I'm surprised you don't have real estate in Houston right now.
No, it's probably my favorite place. I mean, I know that press box inside out. I mean, I've done it from both press boxes. You guys have that weird window inside the press box where it's very weird. There's parts of it you can't open. The only parts you can open is at the top. So, which is very bizarre. Yes, Vic's giving me this weird look. Like, how is that possible? It is very weird.
No,
trust me.
It's absolutely possible. It's a thing.
Yeah, no, I mean, right now Vic is like talking. Go ahead, speak up on the mic there. You got to speak.
Well, this is coming from somebody who usually does a majority of his broadcast outside in 90 degree sun with no shade whatsoever. So having a window and some air conditioner is a nice concept.
No, it's great. I have ambient mic when I do audio broadcasts, and that's kind of an issue sometimes with Houston there. So I usually have to have help for people to open the window, and then I have a long wire. But I enjoy it. I hope to be there again next season if it all works out. But my point is, you know, I've been all those trips. Houston never had a softball broadcast per se, until recently, until you really arrived. I mean, I know they used to do the breast cancer games. I think Katie Beth Sherman, am I saying that right? You know who I'm talking about?
Yes,
there? Sid?
Katie Beth Sherman, now Katie Beth Jones.
That's right. She's married. Good correction on that. I know she would do a couple of those breast cancer games, but that would be the only broadcast that I would ever see from a Houston broadcast standpoint. Every other game would have video, but have no broadcasters for a variety of reasons. Is that something that you're working on to maybe help expand with the popularity of the sport? And you guys got great fan base. I mean, I still get feedback from Houston fans that tune in when Houston's playing at UCF to this day. Where is that kind of what your immediate goal is?
Yeah, well, right now, Houston is definitely home base. I am not necessarily, I don't necessarily feel like I have to stay in Houston or stay in Texas, rather. I think I've always imagined myself moving back to California and moving back to San Diego. That's where my family is. I like to be close with them, or closer to them, rather. Now, you know, I really do want to help build Houston softball and Houston softball radio. Obviously, it's a program near and dear to my heart. I think that they have an incredible opportunity with the Houston community and with the young female athlete population in Houston to really be engaging and build a following that contributes and gives back to the community. And so I would really love to be a part of that and kind of build that from a community perspective here in Houston. Love Texas, wouldn't mind staying, wouldn't mind making a permanent home here, but right now this is definitely the best place for me regionally. I have name recognition here, which I think is the biggest difference and what's really important, especially in an industry like broadcast. I don't necessarily have that name recognition in California anymore. So this is really where I needed to be, and right after grad school, I actually moved back to San Diego and spent a couple months there and was like, I am in the wrong place. I need to be back in Texas. I need to be back in Houston. That's where I'm going to get my experience. That's where I'm going to improve my chops. And that's really where my career is going to take off. And so that's where I am now.
Well, and it's definitely doing that, and you're getting a lot of work. And plus, you're in the right region with a lot of softball broadcasts, so there's opportunities. And there's 2 professional softball teams as well. So there's a lot of softball in the state of Texas, which helps.
A lot of softball, a lot of baseball.
Exactly. No, that's a great point. Before we let you go, I want to give you a couple of quick drills here. I'm going to mention a couple of some names and questions, and you give me kind of your what pops in your head, okay?
Okay.
Haley Uten. Describe Haley Uten, who you played with.
She is charismatic. She is, wow, she's driven. She's incredibly fun to watch. Has laser focus. One of my favorite people on and off the field, no doubt. Clutch, too. Very clutch.
Absolutely. Unbelievable player. Kristen Vesely, who's now the head coach at Houston, but you played for her, I believe, as well when she was the assistant.
Yes. Yes. Kristen Vesely. Oh, gosh. So many things at, so many things and words I could use to describe her. Very witty. Built a dynamite staff, taking the great foundations that Kyle Holas built and really making it her own over at Houston. She is the perfect person to take over, was the perfect person, the perfect choice. The athletic department could not have chosen anybody better, in my opinion. Is the type of coach, I think she gets this from her time playing under Coach Gasso, that she cares about the woman behind the player. She cares about the individual, and that is one of the things I loved most about playing for her. And why she is going to be so wildly successful is because she builds the human and the person as well as the player.
Let's do this little part here. Let's ask you about, let's say I asked you about Uten. I've asked you about Coach Vesely. Who's the best player that you ever faced during your career? Best player.
The best player I ever faced. I mean, I think that I would have to probably put it in different categories. I've faced some of the best of the best. I broke up a Kalani Ricketts no hitter. She's amazing. She's an amazing pitcher, amazing player. Lacey Waldrop, great pitcher, rung me up twice. When we played Florida State over at Alabama, got me swinging like a fool at 3 different speeds. So had to tip my hat to her. She's a great player. In terms of hitters, gosh. People that I played against. Probably Lauren Chamberlain. I got to see her progress from her. I remember watching her play her freshman year, and then I remember playing against her again when she was, or hearing that she was injured, and I saw that, I was like, oh my God, she already has how many home runs on this year and she's injured? She was definitely one of the more powerhouse hitters that I played against.
That's pretty.
I mean, that's 3 people, yeah?
Yeah, that's pretty impressive list.
But, I mean, that's one of the things about Houston is that at any given day, it's a program that can compete with the best of the best. You can expect that team and that program to take a game on any given day from some of the best in the country. So they're on their way, for sure.
No question about it. And you're on your way on your career. Tell the audience where they can find your work and where they can follow what will be next for you.
You can follow me. All of my handles right now on social media are going to be at Syd Gerbs. That's SYDGERBZ. Going to be posting a lot more on Twitter and Instagram now. With my analyst work, and I'll be putting my reel on YouTube, so you guys can go ahead and check that out. I'm looking forward to expanding not only my social media presence, but my work across the country, and hopefully be recognized. Hopefully Gearbrack will be able to be pronounced nationwide for the next couple of years.
You got that, Vic? You writing that down, Vic?
I still can't even. I'm
he won't. He's too intimidated. You've intimidated
it's
him.
It's not that. Look, I don't. We have one of the rising stars in a broadcasting game on our podcast, and I don't want to butcher the last name, so I'm going to play it safe and let you try to pronounce it, Eric.
Sydney Gearbrack.
It's G-E-A-R, gear, and then last name bracket without the E. Gearbrack.
There
it is.
See? Come on, Vic. No, he won't do it. All right. Well, you can check out Sydney on Friday, May 5th, 6 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Central, UCF takes on Tulsa. From Tulsa, she will be on the broadcast with my good friend Bruce Howard. I'm going to be excited. I'm going to be tuning into that. And I'm excited you get to do that and all the work you're doing. And my other goal is hopefully we'll do a broadcast together down the road at some point, somewhere.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Vic and Eric, for having me on today.
Then thanks to Sydney again for joining us. Vic, you're not going to try it, though. Look at you. I've never seen you. Like, you're a pretty confident broadcaster. I mean, you're very respected. And this one, you're not. You're leaving it alone.
I'm taking a knee. I can't. It's one of those days where it sounds easy and it looks easy on paper where you're like,
How impressive is she, though? Right? Is she not? I mean, you're impressed. But I mean, I can tell.
Look, she is going to be a star in this industry within the next few years with her knowledge of the game, her passion of the game, and how she's so versatile. And you mentioned it. And in today's media, you have to do multiple things and do all of them very, very well. She could do color. She could do sideline reporting. She could do studio reporting. She did a little play-by-play.
Yeah.
She could do it all.
Yep. And I've tried to encourage more and more players to go into broadcasting. It doesn't have to be just coaching if you want to stay around the game. You could just do broadcasting as well. So I think she sees that, and I hope others see that as well. And I think she's made a huge impact for that University of Houston with providing the broadcast. And, you know, hopefully, you know, I've always spoken to people there about why don't you get the broadcast up and running, and I think she's helping them with that. And no question, she's got a bright future. She's still very young.
Yeah.
She's already accomplished a lot, and I think she's going to accomplish a lot more. So really a pleasure to catch up with her. Vic, tell the audience where they can find us.
You can follow us on Twitter, InnerCircleSB. Subscribe to our podcast on Podomatic and iTunes. Follow our blog, InnerCircleBlog.wordpress.com. And, of course, you can follow us on Facebook.
All right, that'll do it for this episode. For Victor Anderson, I'm Eric Lopez. Hope you enjoyed this edition of In the Circle.